I know Isaiah 6 is very close to many people's heart this morning. And they know themselves. We are living through times where the presence of God is not easily accessed. And it is only in the presence of God, when God's power is revealed, that we can truly confess our sins, repent of our sins, and receive forgiveness and blessings. These are times where we need to cry out to God that in whatever, whenever we meet together, the Holy Spirit will come upon us powerfully. Not to condemn us when there is sin, we will see this shortly, but to bring us to the place where we can finish the walk. That is God's heart. He didn't redeem us to crush us. He didn't take the people of Israel out of Egypt and he left them in the middle of the sea, but he led them all the way, and he was with them 40 years, and he was willing to walk with them to this day. That is the God we worship. And today, I want to bring to you this very truth, that in his presence, there are two things in this text that we are going to see clearly. And these two things is insisting on our own thoughts when God calls us to be led by his word. At all levels. That was what we saw in the Old Testament. The king is given instructions. The king was an office bearer. There was there a job description, because all the kings were raised by God to lead God's people in God's way. The priests were raised up and were given a job description to intercede for the people and to offer sacrifices on the behalf of the people of God. So each person in God's community has a role according to God's word. And so we see King Uzziah. We will see how he will break the rules of God. And the second thing also I want to share with you also that we will see clearly is this issue of unclean lips. Gossip. Gossip can hinder revival in your own life and also in the life of the people you lead and represent, or even to serve. Your message will never be powerful to change people or to help them if you gossip. You need clean lips like Isaiah. He will be sent because the Lord will touch his lips. And this will be our need, greatest need today. We shall never leave this place untouched by God. Whether in our minds, our own thinking, or even our words from our lips. Let me go to the text of Isaiah chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord, Isaiah says. So the first thing, Isaiah saw the Lord in the year Uzziah died. So the context. So now Uzziah, why the year Uzziah died? Is Uzziah here? He was a king. And we read that in 2 Chronicles chapter 26. I'd like to turn there. I will be really very mindful, I hope, of the time today. God's willing. This man, he started well, Uzziah. 2 Chronicles chapter 26. He started well. He was 16 years old. And he was made king in the place of his father, Amaziah. which I used to call Amsia in my Arabic Bible. He was the one who rebuilt Elath and restored to Judah after Amaziah rested with his father. Uzziah was 16 years old when he became king, and he reigned in Jerusalem 52 years. His mother's name was Jecoliah. She was from Jerusalem. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord, just as his father Amaziah had done. He did what was right. He started well. He did first things what was right in the eyes of God. Secondly, he went to war against the Philistines. He took his role seriously. He went to the war. And as a man who was pleasing God, who was doing what was right in the eyes of God and going about God's businesses, verse 7 says, God helped him against the Philistines and against the Arabs who lived in Gur Baal and against the Monites, the Ammonites or the Munites, and all the people in that region. The Ammonites brought tribute to Uzziah. He subdued all these people, and his fame is spread as far as the border of Egypt because he had become very powerful. He had become powerful. So this man, he has an army. So we went on to read that he has a well-built army. He placed the resources in the right place so that he can go about God's business. So we read in verse 11 that he had well-trained army. Today you have poorly trained armies. And so when they are challenged, so they cannot stand their ground. But this man, so he did a lot of work. Under their command was an army of 500,000 men trained for war. So now we come to the part that we would not love to read. Because verse 15 says, his fame is spread far and wide, for he was greatly helped until he became powerful. So now even all the power it acquired was not his own. God gave him the power and helped him. And now verse 16 says, but after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led to his downfall. His pride. And pride is a serious thing. So the pride will just wipe out all the great things God has done in your life and even through you. Because to finish well, that is God's desire, not to begin. Because always it's God who begins with us. No wonder why to finish well is what God is focusing on. Because he knows that you can never even get off the ground as a Christian without his help and his grace and his redemption. And now we just easily forget that he is the one who has brought us thus far. And then we become proud. It's just so serious. Block the revival. This good man, he just underprivileged his own people. He disadvantaged them by going the other way. He should have gone further, isn't it? To administer God's words and to lead God's people in good ways. So we have this lesson many times. Let us be careful. Watch over our hearts. Lest we are proud. Even the things that we do well. That is why be aware of flattery and those who would just want to praise you. Lest you become proud and your heart and you think you are doing well. The Bible says even when we are doing things right, we should say we are just sinful people. We are doing only what we have been helped to do or what is given to us to do. That is the true Christian attitude. So this man became proud. And just to cut a long story short, verse 19, Uzziah, who had a censer in his hand ready to burn, because that was in his pride, he took up a role. That is what I want to say. He took up a role that he should have been playing. He's a king, and now he's trying to play priest. See? To burn incense. Uzziah had a censer in his hand ready to burn incense, became angry while he was raging at the priests in their presence before the incense altar and the Lord's temple, even in the presence of God, no regard for God. Leprosy broke out on his head. And Isaiah could say, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. It was when this man was failing, he was not a help to anyone. So King Uzziah is no good anymore, and it's no good for his own people. It's not the person to look up to. And now people have to look up to their God. And God now coming to the scene, saying this man in his arrogance, he just violated the word of God. He forgot all the help I have extended to him, and he became proud. Bang, leprosy, fell dead. He died, the Bible says, in the year Uzziah, King Uzziah died. And Isaiah saw the Lord. How? So something bad God is going to put aside now. And now there is hope. God is revealing himself. So what did Isaiah see? I saw the Lord seated on a throne, high and exalted, and the train of his robe filled the temple. His presence, this is an expression of the God's presence filling the temple. Isaiah was given this access to see. And in that scene, he saw above God where seraphs, they were angelic hosts, angelic beings, holy. Above him were seraphs, each with six wings. And I think I shared a devotion many, many years ago. Some people still remember this to this day. So were seraphs, each with six wings. With two wings, they cover their faces, covering the glory of God. With two, they covered their feet, not to be dusted in any way. With two, they covered their feet. And with two, they were flying. And they were calling to one another. There was a worship now. There is a singing in the presence of God. Like us singing, like we were singing. But the song that they sing here, they were declaring that God is holy. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty. The first word, the Creator God, the Almighty. The whole earth is full of his glory. That was their song. And as these angelic hosts were singing, at the sound of their voices, the doorpost and the threshold and thresholds shook, and the temple was filled with smoke. This is speaking about the glory of God being revealed. And Isaiah is seeing this himself. This is a very important thing. When we come into God's house, that is what we deal with. That is what we face. There will be singing. And as we sing, God will manifest his presence. And what happens? Sometimes when we sing, some will be just on fire singing. And then God in his mercy also, he will just show someone his greatest need. That his need at that time, or her needs at that time, is not to sing, but to deal with his own sin. Because in the presence of God, everything is disclosed. That is what we have here. And in the atmosphere of worship, and the angels of God presence, even as we worship, our sin is revealed, our real estate will be communicated to us, and we cannot avoid facing up to it. That was what Isaiah experienced in verse 5. Woe to me, he cried. So he didn't bother that they were good songs. They were not helping him. beautiful melody was not helping him. So when we come to church, the singing is not the main thing. It's an expression of our gratitude to God. But the main thing is, how are we standing in his presence? And Isaiah didn't just join the singing. When his sin was revealed to him, the sins of unclean lips, this is what he cried: I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips, and my eyes have seen the King, the true King, not King Uzziah. He was not helpful. But when he saw the true King, his sins were revealed to him. And what the Lord Jesus said to us in the New Testament reading, what did he say in John chapter 12? You need to remember this clearly for the rest of your life. Jesus quoted Isaiah. Isaiah said, Jesus is saying, Isaiah said in chapter 6, Isaiah said what he said earlier. I will say it later. Because he saw Jesus' glory and he spoke about him, the one Isaiah saw in the Old Testament, in the pre-incarnation of Jesus Christ, our Lord, was Jesus himself. He saw Jesus himself. He saw Jesus and he cried, woe to me. Woe to me. I've seen the glory of God. The glory of Jesus. And it is only when we see the glory of Jesus that our sins will be revealed to us. That was how I came to know Jesus. I didn't come to know Jesus because I was successful or nice and doing everything right. Just when I was sinking in my sin, that was when I saw the glory of Jesus. And we could see in this text that the glory of Jesus was not to crush and was to come. As Isaiah was so open before the Lord of his sin and confess it. He saw it was being revealed to him and he brought it up. He said, I am a sinful man. I am ruined, for I'm a man of unclean lips. I gossip too much. I spoke about this and that and that and that. And when you speak about other people in this way, you are exalting yourself. Pride, leprosy, remember, is there. God cannot be mocked. A call to a warning that even in the time of grace, unrepentant sin will be dealt with by God. I am ruined. Isaiah says, he saw the glory of Jesus. It's when we see the glory of Jesus and not hide our sins, we will confess, if we confess it, we will be forgiven and cleansed. And we will see what God will do with Isaiah and what he will do for him and through him as a result of him seeing the glory of God and not hid himself from it, but face after it, knowing that he's a merciful God, a gracious God. This is what Jesus says. He says, and I'd like to come back. I want to go to the third point and come back to the second. This is my way of doing things, because we cannot just brush. Because Isaiah was called to speak to these people that he described as unclean lips as well. I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among a people of unclean lips. These people, the people of God, were described as sinful. And Isaiah will go to them and they will not listen to him. a difficult calling, isn't it? So in atmosphere of worship, let me press this upon your heart. Don't be busy singing all the time if you don't feel like it. Maybe the Lord would want you to say a prayer to deal with that issue that is nagging and that is really causing you to be heavy. And see what, next time you will join the singing as you have been purified from that sin, as you have forgiven. Because this is what the blood of Jesus does. There is no sin that he cannot wipe out. There is no sin that he cannot wipe out. That is why he went fully and he said, "It is finished," on the cross. Whoever is willing to say, "Woe to me, I have seen the glory of God." Maybe the problem, we don't see the glory of God, where our sins could be revealed to us. That is our greatest need. That is why we should have special meetings, really seeking God and asking him to manifest his presence. That was what Moses did. Moses just didn't want to go to the promised land. He said, "If you are not coming with us, don't move us to that place. For any place without God is not a promised land." It is not a promised land. Where there is no Christ, even if there is great services of church services, and there is no God manifestation, and power and mercy and grace revealed to his own people, is not a place to be. And it's not too hard. You open your mouth, you say, "Lord Jesus, fill us with your Holy Spirit. Come into our midst." That is the language you gave us. It's a simple language. Isaiah said this, "Woe to me. I am ruined, for I am a man of unclean lips." And see what these simple words did for him. They came to the heart of God. But they were coming truly from his heart. And they were describing a situation that God himself could see clearly as it is. That is why we don't have to be clever. Let us just speak normal language to God. Let us describe everything as it is. Don't try to be theologically clever. Just simple words, in your own words. Simple words. It's not too hard to know the amazing things of God. Just have a child, childlike heart. Just have it and try that. Try it out. I challenge you, all of you, do it. Speak to God just plainly like that. That is what he loves. Do you see any complicated word here? Do you see, let me go and do these things and do some movements and maybe bring big music and so forth. There was a music. And yet that music didn't help him. But glory of God was revealed to him. So the greatest need is to have the presence of God whenever we meet. And we should desire to have him in our midst. And guess what? As what was Isaiah really sin, as I said, gossip. Speaking down people, talking about the weaknesses of other people, talking about their failures and shortcomings. See, yeah, we all have our own issues, our own troubles. But as God's people, it's God who is our Father. It's Jesus Christ who is our Lord. And he has the power to change us and help us. And that is what God's people should be doing. And now in verse 6 to 7, we see the response. The response at the presence of God. "Then one of the seraphs flew to me with a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with tongs from the altar, from the very presence of God." What is that? To come and touch Isaiah's lips. You know the people in the Old Testament, they were. So this is fire. It was just like a fire to burn all the impurities. Symbolic of the work of God, the work of the Holy Spirit. to wipe his mouth, to make it clean. With it, he touched my mouth. And he was told, see, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sins atoned for. Someone else has done it for you. You don't have to do anything. Your sins have been atoned for. And who atoned our sins? With the sacrifice of Christ. You remember when Jesus entered into the Holy of Holies, into the presence of God, and he purchased for us there salvation in the Old Testament. So when the high priest goes into the Holy of Holies, he goes with a lamb, a sacrifice that will be accepted to God. And the New Testament tells us in Hebrews, we heard in a few weeks ago, that Jesus Christ himself, he entered into the Holy of Holies with the blood of himself. He offered himself as a sacrifice. And so that God can touch us. So that from the presence of God, we can have atonement. We can have salvation. We can have redemption. That is what happens. This man's sin has been taken away. The gossip is taken away. It's no more. I tell you what, one of the greatest Christian experiences you can ever experience is this habitual sin that has been dragging you down years and years. And at that moment when God takes it away, it's gone forever. Because the Bible says sins cannot rule us. Gossip cannot remain in the house of God and with God's people, with their lips. Because we need lips, clean lips, don't we? We need clean lips. Because it is only through clean lips we can speak from our hearts. Word that will come out and help others and bring them to salvation. For all the evangelists who have led many people to Christ, they went through the process that Isaiah went through. And every Christian that will be useful in the house of God must go through the same process. To take up our calling, we have to go through this process of cleansing. Especially lips area or speaking. For it is only through this vessel, clean vessel. I have a testimony that I cannot share in relation to the lips. Experience it truly that God can touch your lips. Even in your dreams, God can touch your lips. See, this has touched your lips. That is what God does always. And Jesus says in the New Testament that when people see my glory, that is what they will experience. As they confess their sin, they will be transformed. That is why he calls us to himself, come to me, and you will be changed. Your lips will be changed. Your heart will be changed. Your mind will be transformed. Unlike the mind of Uzziah, who insisted to go his own way. These two things we are to confront, to face in our lives, to see God's will for our lives, not to have our own thoughts and have big purpose or long purpose or many purpose and write our vision. Done there, pen just drop. You go there and do your other research, how to execute your vision without consulting the Lord. Pride. Simply because you can fill some papers with ink, that doesn't mean that you got it right. It has to be the Lord. You see, Uzziah wrote his own notes. He got it wrong. There he fell. Leprosy. Well, let me move to the last point. Isaiah, as a result of this process of the cleansing, he received his calling. He received his calling after he has been forgiven and cleansed and anointed. Verse 8. Verse 8 says, then I heard a voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And is the only person who has come to see the glory of Jesus, who had experienced his forgiveness and cleansing power, cleansing blood, that can respond to this call, here I am. Here I am. Here I am. Whom shall I send? And who will go for us? We say like a reference to Trinity. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Even Jesus appearing in the Old Testament. He is there. John said. And the Word became flesh. 1:14. John 1:14. And the Word became flesh. And we have seen his glory. That was what brought the disciples behind Jesus. They saw his glory. He changed them. He transformed them. And now, the Lord is saying to him, whom shall I say? And who will go for us? And I said, here am I. Send me. It's a costly calling. But it was the right decision to make. Given the fact that he saw that glory and that vision, you cannot see it anywhere else in this world. The vision of the Lord. There is no one like him. There is no one like Jesus. That you see and be transformed in your heart and in your mind. And to be washed clean from your sins. And be given a new task that you were never thought of doing even. I never dreamed to stand even here. Even I didn't know that I will be here. Born in South Sudan. Long, 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 long time ago. Beautiful country, green in rainy seasons, playing everywhere, fish everywhere, hunting all sorts of animals, going to school, reading everything, just enjoying life. Never dreamed to come into this country or even to stand here. Many years ago, a friend of mine, a colleague of mine, primary school colleague, challenged me. So, you're claiming to be called by God? You were trained to teach physics and chemistry. And the Lord gave me an insight. I said to him, Luca, his name was Luca. Luca, when we were in our small town in Wulang, back in the 70s, have you ever thought of coming and living in Australia? He said, no. I said, how would I know that I would be called to do what I'm doing right now? But as I saw the glory of God, as I saw him touching me in my own need, as I was sinking in my sin, in my need, in my despair, I saw his glory. And his glory was to say, I help you. And all my pains and anguish and doubts about life and the things I was seeing and experiencing were gone. And I And I started a journey to learn how to walk because I was a baby in the faith. And the process of sanctification kicked off to this day. And I'm still learning, growing in my faith. Isaiah said, here am I. And that will be the experience of everyone who will know that he has been forgiven. Even the task that he is called to do, even if it is hard, in the light of what he has seen, he will do it. Because Isaiah, he was called to go and tell a people who have unclean lips, a people who will be hearing, ever hearing but never understand, be ever seeing but never perceiving. This is a dead ministry. This is a hard ministry. How can you minister a ministry that has no fruits? It is not your duty. It is not your job. It's just to take it up. Not to despise the call of God. Even if it is hard and the returns seem to be too small. Because sometimes we think like mega churches is what happens. But actually, we see Isaiah himself, the man who has been in the presence of God, and have seen his glory and was touched and changed. Now he's doing this ministry that is so hard. He will preach to a people and they will not respond. They will see miraculous acts of God and they will not turn to him. That was his calling. He was called to a people who will not hear. And Jesus, our Lord himself, he said this. He said, because God himself has blinded their eyes and deadened their hearts, so they can neither see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, nor turn, and I would heal them. But even with that, the Lord said, there will be a time where he will send revival. This is what we experience from time to time. When things seem to be hard, God is still at work. God is still at work. He will be willing to pour out his Holy Spirit. We will experience revival. That is why even when people are blinded like this, God has done this for a purpose. And so Isaiah knew this. And then in his despair, he said, if you are sending me to these people, how is it going to take time? How long is it going to be? How long will it be? That is verse 11. Then I said, for how long, O Lord? How long am I going to do this? How long am I going to do this kind of ministry? Shall I go where else where I will just have a lot of fruits? Shall I go where I will be honored and also respected? Or to be excited to be on fire all the time? And let me drop this. I was hearing this friend of mine that I traveled to have fellowship with and also to have this time of revival. He said, if you have a meaningful ministry, make sure that you have a people that are praying for this ministry. Because God, the enemy will oppose this ministry. And many good and great ministries that are just struggling just simply because God's people are not interceding. Their things can happen automatically. It's one another word that is so hard for me to pronounce. No, we have to have people praying that God in his goodness and kindness may loosen the hearts and the minds of people and respond to the message so that we can be excited about our ministry. More, isn't it? Even if it's not happening like that, Isaiah is calling us, whatever you do, and you believe with all of your heart that God is calling you to do that, no matter how hard it is, trust, hold to it. If it is from the Lord, be faithful. Do it. Don't be proud. And don't lose heart. Isaiah said this. He said, how long is this going to be? Let me read it through. Until the cities lie ruined. Until I finished the punishment. You see, independence. The Lord has been just revealing this to me in the last few weeks. That rebellious, and I think we heard it last week in the afternoon service, evening service. Rebellious is bad. The Bible says in Proverbs, I think that was 27:11, isn't it? That the Lord will send an angel of death. So let us be faithful. So the Lord says, until the Lord has sent everyone far away, the people of Israel will be taken to exile and will struggle there, and the land will be utterly like desolate, and yet, and though a tenth remains in the land, it will again be laid waste. But as the terebinth and oak leaf stumps, when they are cut down, so the holy seed will be the stump in the land. There will be redemption. There will be restoration. Because God's work can never be diminished. Even his anger will not burn forever. He will turn again as his people stop to be like Uzziah. As his people stop to be proud. And as his people stop to devise for themselves rules and missions in this world, when we are called, all of us as Christians, the priesthood of all believers, all of us, we are called to serve our God. Because all of us, in a way or another, have come to see his glory. That is why many of us are here today. And if you have not come to this experience, you can cry out like Isaiah. Wow, I'm a man of unclean lips. My heart is bad. I'm not saved. Please, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Save me, redeem me. When God's people start to respond in this way, stop being like Uzziah. When God's people also start to be like Isaiah, they will not only be forgiven and cleansed and merited, but they will be called to their ministry. They will be called to their own calling. And one of the issues that we face and we are not aware and we don't know which way to go is maybe we want to lead ourselves. We want to choose for ourselves what is the best, where to live, where to go, what to do. Just like choosing clothes, what to wear. Even as a believer also, there are things that we see colorful, certain shapes that is give glory to other beings that are becoming symbols of rebellion from God. How long? Yes, it doesn't matter even how long it takes. The Lord God Almighty will come to our aid. Change only by the glory of the true King, Jesus Christ. If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Surrender to him. Repent of your gossip. Repent of your independence. Repent of your pride. And humble yourself before him. And be like Isaiah, the greatest prophet ever lived, who spoke more than any other of Jesus Christ, the Lord. We are only changed by the glory of the true King, Jesus Christ. When we see his glory, his winsome presence, we cannot avoid but to fall before him and declare him King and crown him with many crowns. Our Redeemer, our Lord, our Savior, our Master, our way, our life, our truth, our hope, our righteousness, our Redeemer, our Savior, our Shepherd, our Lord, our husband, our friend, our everything. The glory of God in Jesus Christ being revealed to us even this morning. If you hear his voice, do not harden your heart. Go deeper with him. Let's talk to him about every aspect. He performs miracles. He walks on the water. He brought out the dead from the grave. He healed the sick. He opened the blind's eyes. And above all, the greatest miracles ever is to be changed from a sinner into a righteous man. The salvation, being a Christian. Even if you think you are a weak Christian, Christian is a Christian. There's no hierarchy. It is the same redemption. All that we need to encourage the weak, and we encourage one another to remind ourselves that it is only through the glory and the power of Christ that we could be changed. Even the gossip itself. The gossip. I am afraid there are a lot of people, they earn with respect this title of being a gossip. Change by the glory of Jesus. Shall we pray?